Good Friday. Today is December the 12th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, Christmas trees making headlines as we take a look out in the backyard and garden and explore another species of trees, this time the fir, taking a look also at what's going on with Christmas trees grown in the southern part of the United States. All that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants. Simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look out in the backyard and garden, we're going to talk about fresh-cut Christmas trees again today. Last week, if you recall, we talked about the different species of pine trees that are available. Today, we want to go into the different types of fir trees that folks like to select. And the first of those is the Cannon fir, also called the West Virginia balsam fir. It's a genetic cross from the northern balsam fir from the northern U.S. and Canada, and the Fraser balsam fir from the southeastern United States. The blue-green flattish needles are a silvery color on the underside of the branches. It is fragrant and sweet, spicy like balsam firs and Fraser firs. It also has soft lacing branches, but they are sturdy enough to support ornaments of various sizes, and it is grown in Ohio because of its tolerance to our heavier clay-based soils. Now, we said that is a cross of different firs, one of those being the balsam, and that's the next one we'll talk about. The balsam fir is native to areas northeast and north-central U.S. and much of eastern Canada. It's widely grown as a Christmas tree throughout the native range. The needles are anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to 1 1/4 inches long and a flattened cross section. They have blunt tips and are attached individually to the twigs, and they're generally a dark green color with two wide bands on the lower surface. They make an extremely attractive Christmas tree, producing a pleasant balsam aroma and having a layered appearance commonly associated with Christmas trees. The branches are relatively stiff, and so they can support numerous ornaments as well, and needle retention of fresh cut trees is good. Now, because of its susceptibility to late spring frost, the fir is generally grown by only a few Christmas tree growers in the northern part of Ohio. Now, the other half of that genetic split of the Cannon fir is the Fraser fir. The Fraser fir is the balsam fir of the southeastern United States, grown on well-drained but fairly moist soils. Its dark blue-green needles are flat in appearance and attached singly to branches. These sturdy and symmetric branches have a distinct blue to silver color on the underside of the needles. It is fragrant once again, has excellent needle retention, and a lot of folks consider it the Cadillac of Christmas trees. If a grower has the correct soils and drainage, it can be grown in Ohio, producing, again, that excellent classic Christmas tree look. The Douglas fir is a green to blue-green tree. It has softer needles that are about 1 inch long. They are flat and attached to the branches singly, and although the branches are soft and pliable, the growth habit is very full, giving it a multiple branch option for placing ornaments on. Distinct features include the citrus scent of the Douglas fir, similar to lemons and oranges. The species normally grows in the northern U.S. at higher elevations than we find here in Ohio, but it makes the early budding tree sensitive to our early spring frost. Needle retention is very good, and again, that fragrance is something that it's known for. Douglas fir is actually not a true fir tree. We want to wrap up today then with the Conkler fir, also known as the white fir. It has long needles around 1.5 to 2.5 inches long, silvery blue in color, singly attached to the branches. The species normally grows at higher elevations as well. Early budding firs are sensitive to our early spring frost here again, so it prefers well-drained but moist soils. Conkler firs grow with vigor and will accept moderate to severe shearing to control that growth. The layered, slightly wild-growing tree has very good to excellent needle retention. Again, a strong citrus to somewhat soapy scent is unique to this tree. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to continue talking about Christmas trees, but this time with a little different take. We've been looking at what you can get here, primarily in Ohio with the Ohio Christmas Tree Growers Association, but an area not necessarily thought of for Christmas pre-production has a variety of species they look at for the holidays, especially when we talk live trees. USDA's Rod Bain talks about Christmas trees grown in the South.
We're at that time where an important part of the Christmas holiday plays out. they're growing trees here. They open their doors for people to come to the farm, pick out a tree, cut it, and take it home with them for the holiday.
But where they are, according to Mississippi State University Extension's John Kushla, is the southern tier of the United States, particularly the southeast, not necessarily known for its Christmas tree industry compared to the northern climates. Yet, as Kushla explains,
the fact is that a lot of the Christmas tree grown here are all local markets.
That's in part because many of the Christmas tree species in the south cannot tolerate being cut and kept out of water for a prolonged period of time.
So they have to be cut live on the farm and taken home at that point. Now, they'll last through the Christmas season. Some trees do better than others in that regard, but that's our situation down here.
In terms of specific species that fit the bill as Christmas trees in the southeast and southern regions,
the ones we have down here in the coastal plains tolerate much warmer weather. We have the Leyland cypress or Murray cypress. They're crosses from the Alaska cedar and Monterey cedar, but depends on which way you cross a male and female is which variety you get.
Other southern-based Christmas tree varieties available for consumers include
the Arizona cypress, which comes from the southwest, a very drought-tolerant species, has kind of a little bluish color to it, which people like. Eastern red cedar is another one that we grow down here, and the Virginia pine. In fact, the Virginia pine is probably one of the first tree species to be grown as a Christmas tree here in the south.
And in terms of southern Christmas tree species that work well as living trees to enjoy for many holidays to come,
the Leylands would be one. Most all of them you'd want to plant in your better drained soils. The Arizona cypress is a popular one, and it too would want to grow in drier soil. The eastern red cedar is tolerant of a wide variety of soil types and drainage conditions. So that's one that has a little bit more freedom in terms of where you plant it and where it will be able to grow.
Kushla also advises the aforementioned species should be planted in areas where 6 or more hours of sun occur for healthy growth of those living Christmas trees. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMIW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.